Final hour of the show at 6:30. We'll preview the Detroit Lions. If you're a Lions fan, we'll spend a couple of minutes on that. We got NFL football, the Raiders and the Texans coming up for you on Saturday. And, of course, we'll have it for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. And, again, I know, listen, you're rooting for Seattle. I'm rooting for the Giants. But I think from a football perspective, that game in Lambeau Field is probably the most intriguing of the weekend matchups.
Yes, especially with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers playing so well, and they're at home. But you look at a Giants team that can go on the road, they can pretty much get it done. They have a history of getting it done anywhere. And this is a game, Eli's beat all of the elite. So you got to have all the confidence in your quarterback. You said that just being on the road, you kind of give the edge to Green Bay. So out of all of them, that'll be an interesting one.
All right, let's get to some phone calls. Let's start with Blaz. Hello, Blaz. What's happening?
Hey, Grant.
What's happening?
Good. How you doing? How you doing, Mr. Christian?
Great.
You guys make a good team. Just want to let you know, first of all.
Thank you.
You're doing great together, man. I like that. Grant, I'm a big Steeler fan. I really value your opinion. I just want to get your take on the game this Sunday, see what you think.
I think the only way the Steelers don't win this game is if they get very sloppy and careless with the football, and I think that's the only way that Miami will win. Do I think Miami is going to win this game? I don't. They have the running attack that that is very effective, and they've got a breakaway runner, but I still think Pittsburgh wins this game. I just think the experience, Matt Moore versus Ben Roethlisberger, the coaching of Mike Tomlin, I think Pittsburgh's just a better team right now. I think they'll prevail.
The only way I could see Miami going in there is if Jay Ajayi just goes nuts.
And he can.
And he can.
Yeah.
But you got to know that Pittsburgh is going to be loaded up and ready for him.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Both of you guys' opinion. Thank you.
All right, let's get to YR. What's up, YR?
Guys, how are you?
Good. What's up?
Good.
You know what? Call back. We get a bad connection. Paymon, what's up, Paymon?
Hey, Grant. How's it going?
What's happening?
Just a little disappointed about yesterday's game. I like that they came back, but down the stretch, I feel like, arguing with the refs a lot, Matt Barnes, DeMarcus Cousins, Matt getting that technical, it kind of, I just wish they could keep their composure, not get into it with the ref, and just play the game. I don't know when these guys are going to get it. It doesn't help anything to just complain and get a technical at the end of the game. That's all I got. Thanks.
Yeah, and I had, Doug and I spoke with Coach Yeager at 4 o'clock, and I asked him, and he said, you know what, it's the wrong time to get a technical. It was he was not happy about it, and I'm paraphrasing what the coach said, but he said, yeah, very bad timing on that technical.
Yeah, you're gonna get bad calls, and you're gonna get them at bad times. But I think it was 4:12 we talked about in the fourth quarter, and that was really winning time. You have to make sure that you are on your P's and Q's. Do things happen? Yes, they do. But that's the time to buckle down and get a W.
All right, let's get to AC. What's up, AC?
Hey guys, happy New Year.
Same to you.
First of all, I'm a Miami fan, so I agree with you, Grant. I don't see Miami winning this game, but I will tell you this. We're actually, as a fan, I'm actually happier that Ryan Tannehill is on the bench because his decision-making is really, really questionable. And he takes a lot of sacks that he shouldn't. And at least Matt Moore has a little bit more pocket presence. So I don't think they're going to win, but I think that I like our chances better with Matt Moore. And about the Kings, I wanted to see what you guys felt about this. Willie Cauley-Stein is going in. He's getting a regular rotation somewhat, but I don't see any energy from the guy.
Well, he's not getting – first of all, he's not in the regular rotation. He's playing very, very sporadically. He's not part of the regular rotation.
Yeah, last game last night, Willie got 6 minutes, and the game before that he played 1 minute.
Okay, well, when I see him go on the floor, he just kind of lumbers around. He doesn't try to block any shots. He gets no rebounds. And he's just a waste of space. I just don't get it. So, anyway, hopefully they'll fix that.
All right. Thank you very much. YR back with us. What's up, YR?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Hear you great. Thank you.
Great. I just wanted to say hi to Doug. I called in last week and asked Grant a question, but I didn't realize it was Doug Christie.
Hey, hey.
Oh, it is the Doug Christie.
Yeah, I always enjoyed watching you and Bobby Jackson play. You always played hard and had a great positive attitude on the court.
Appreciate it.
So I've got a quick question for you, Grant. You know, I don't hate anybody, but I strongly dislike the Cowboys. And obviously, you know, the Giants were the only team to legitimately beat the Cowboys this year, you know, setting aside that Eagles game. And my feeling is that the reason they were able to do so is because they were the only team that I saw could legitimately put some pressure on Dak and also clamp down on the receiver so that if he did get free, they weren't wide open. What are your thoughts?
They match up very well against Dallas because they are able to contain Elliott. He had 51 yards in the first meeting. Elliott did get his 100 in the second meeting, but he didn't have any real good breakaway runs. And they did a great job on Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys' offensive line is very good, but they're a much better run-blocking team than a pass-blocking team. And the Giants, with Steve Spagnuolo, was able to confuse Dak Prescott on some blitzes. So, listen, I'll say this. I don't think Dallas wants to see the Giants. I think Dallas is fine with seeing Green Bay. Dallas is fine seeing Seattle. Dallas is fine. They do not want to see the Giants. I just don't see how on earth they could want to see the Giants.
Yeah, I agree. I think other than Atlanta and maybe the Pats, Giants are about the only team that is basically going to keep.
And you know what? Nobody at all is talking about the Atlanta Falcons. And I got to tell you, I think the Atlanta Falcons could be that team this year.
Really?
Because I'll tell you this: they'll score in that if they play Dallas.
Yeah.
They'll
two
score.
Dome teams.
They'll score. They will score. Now I don't know.
The only problem with the Falcons is they just can't defend anybody.
No,
they're
I know.
Games like 45-40.
I understand.
Yeah. And
I
they
understand.
Let you down every time.
Yep. And again, that's the other thing. And here's the other thing. As great as Dak Prescott's been this year, he's never been on this stage before. I don't know how he's going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know when you talk about New York beating them, slowing down Ezekiel Elliott and making Dak beat you in the pocket, throwing it down the field, that's a gamble. Just like you said, in the playoffs, in a situation that he's never been in, I would go for that. And that's the reason I think, on top of other things, that they don't want to see the Giants. I almost thought I heard you say they were scared.
I didn't say
you
that.
You didn't say that? Okay. Just checking.
Brad, what's going on, Brad?
Hey, how's it going, Graham?
What's up?
I just want to compliment both of you guys. You guys have a great show, and welcome aboard, Doug.
Thank you, sir.
My question is for the MVP race in the National Football League. Grant, are they gonna give it to a rookie this year, or what's your thoughts on that? I'll leave it up to you.
That's a great question. I wish I had the answer. I think that those two might cancel themselves out somewhat, where Prescott and or Elliott don't win it.
You know, when you talk about Prescott, think about it, Grant. Last year you got a 1,000-yard runner in Dallas.
Yep.
And Tony Romo goes down and no backup they couldn't win a game. Then what's the only thing that changed? You still got now he's 1,600 yards and he sat out, so he probably could even run for more. He is a better runner than McFadden.
No question.
Give you that. But Dak Prescott's doing things that you just haven't seen, and they are their record was 13-3. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, 13-3.
13
they had
three.
A throwaway game in week 17.
Right, so they could easily be maybe 14-2. But the point is, you got to really, really consider him and look at his body of work. And the kid is playing incredible football.
All right, we'll come back and we'll continue on this conversation with your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. What's that all about, man?
I think he's on me because I got on his trash cans.
Oh, gosh.
It wasn't my fault. I just asked a question.
Yeah, I thought that was a great question.
Yes, it was.
I know.
But they
used
to get on me because when I did the show pre and post on the radio, I did it in my son's closet on weight ball, and I'd sit there working on my abs, you know, Grant, trying to stay in shape.
You're a piece of work, dude.
Oh, no doubt.
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Hello, Rick. You're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. So this is coming from a 30-year-plus Cowboy fan. And I got to say, it's been great to be 13-3, but my confidence is not there, man. 13-3, the Cowboys don't blow anybody out. They struggle at times. They make errors. They make penalties at crucial times. They haven't been in a game where they played anybody difficult and to capitalize on those mistakes that they make. Except against the Giants.
And I have to say that I think the Giants are probably the most, in my opinion, probably the most favorable to win it. And the reason why, they're probably the most balanced on the offensive side and defense. I know everybody says Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. That secondary for Green Bay is beat up to death. And I think going against those receivers against New York, Eli's going to have a field day this week. And I think that's a high-scoring game.
If he has time to throw the ball, I would agree with you.
Yeah, and not only that, and then everybody says, well, you know, Atlanta can score points. Well, Atlanta has that division is so bad that they play in. I mean, anybody can score points in that division. They can't defend the ball. And I just think that from a Cowboy standpoint, the best thing that could happen to the Cowboys this weekend is Detroit beat.
That's exactly Seattle. Right. Then you're that's playing. I totally agree. That's an automatic pass to the NFC Championship game if Detroit comes to Dallas next week.
Yeah, that's the only way they can do it. And there's usually could be one upset in the weekend. So that's my best.
That's a great point. You know what? If you're Dallas, that's exactly what you want. You're rooting for Detroit big time because then you don't have to see the Giants at least until a possible NFC Championship game. Now, it may be a moot point. Giants may lose on Sunday, but I'm with you. You're rooting for the Detroit Lions if you're a Cowboys fan. There's no doubt about that.
I'm a huge Lions fan this weekend. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys. Good luck to Grant, to your Giants.
Thank you, bud. All right. Andre. Hello, Andre. What's happening?
Grant, what's going on, Doug? What's happening?
What's happening, man?
I just wanted to give you guys a call, man. I just went to my first Kings game on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Obviously, that was a loss. But I just wanted to tell you guys about my experience. Number one, I got a call a few days before I even went just saying, hey, you guys bought tickets. You know, do you have any questions? I'm blown away by the customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Then they even said, hey, you know, I'm going to invite you guys to a private event at halftime. So while we're walking to the, you know, arena, my wife sees there's like a restaurant. I guess it's like on the southeast corner. And they had a private event before the game. My wife was like, I want to go to a private event. I was like, well, we did get invited. I just didn't tell her that, you know, prior to the game.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, well, where are the tickets at? I was like, well, they said they're going to put it on our seat. So we get to our seats, it's lower level, beautiful arena. First of all, we got there like 2 hours early just to walk around.
Right, sure.
Right. And I'm just amazed at the arena. I mean, you walk in, you see the court immediately, you see the setup, I see Jim Cosmore, I see Big Doug. I'm like, wow, it was just amazing. So we finally find our seats, and there's an envelope with my name on it,
Hey, hey.
And I'm like, okay, man, you know, that's what's up. So we're sitting around watching the game. Halftime comes. I actually don't go to the private event because we're still walking around the arena. Still trying to,
just take
everything in. Obviously disappointed about the game. We got up a little bit early, about 5 minutes left in the game. Try to go. My oldest daughter is a big fan of yours, Doug Christie.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Tried to get a picture with you, but you was too busy. Well, not, you know, that you were too busy, but you were working.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed for the post-game show for a little bit, went out and left, and I was like, okay. And this is my biggest thing. So one of the things that I was worried about was the traffic getting out. I got to tell you, 5 minutes to get on the freeway. Not even that.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
So my last point, Doug, can you please show the Kings how to draw up a play? You can do a 40-foot assist pass, like, every game, at least two times a game, like you used to do with Pager?
Hey, well, you know what? I credit Pager because he shot the ball so damn well. They had no choice but to play on one side of him, and I was dropping dimes, man. I don't know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And my Doug Christie voice, go Kings.
Thanks, man. Thanks for that. That doesn't surprise me. The Kings customer service is fabulous. I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, when Chris Granger became the president of Sacramento Kings, that was almost at the very top of his list, that this was going to be a Disney-themed and based on the Disney business principle. And it didn't happen overnight, but it happened. And Chris Granger, that was one of his priorities. And he has done a marvelous job to get the customer service where it is. And I've noticed that, too, when I hear from people that I know that are friends that go to the arena and tell me, geez, what a phenomenal experience and how well they're treated when they walk into the door of the Golden One Center.
Yeah, his handprints are all over that. And I heard that Disney theme as well. It was great to hear that, yep. Grant, because you know if you've ever been to Disneyland, yep. how they treat you when you walk into Golden One Center. From the time you get there to the time that you leave,
it's phenomenal.
Whatever you need.
All right, let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Grant?
Well, what's up, Mike?
I'm going to tell you a couple things. First of all, I was at the game last night, and I think a big reason we lost was because Cousins, when he was out there, after he got his, I think it was his third or fourth foul, he just quit playing. He actually lacked confidence in himself. He just sat out there. He was afraid. He didn't want to get his fifth foul because he knew he was going to get taken out of the game, and he was afraid to shoot. He was afraid to even shoot the shot. So, basically, Costa would at least play. So having DeMarcus out there was doing us no good. And I sit right behind the basket, and I watched.
Oh, you're right.
Play.
Yeah, you're right. He was terrible last night, and it's the first bad game he's had this year. He had minus 27, and I would agree with you. He was very ineffective on both ends of the floor. But as I said, you know, the Kings have played 35 games. He's played in 34 of them, and probably 30 out of the 34, he's probably graded out at an A level.
I watch him play all the time. Right. I think he's great, but I just saw a lack of confidence because he didn't want to get taken out of the game. But the another thing I'm going to tell you about is I called up about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if you knew it or not, but okay, I used to sit right behind Jerry at the games, and now he's had his seats before you guys started commentating, and you would know me if you saw me. But anyway, remember when DeMar DeRozan lost his shoe?
I don't.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
And Rudy threw it out of bounds.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Now I do. Yes.
Okay. Well, and then so anyway, he threw it. He could have just tossed it back, but he threw it up in the air, and I was on my phone, and it hit me right in the head.
Really?
And it was all over the internet.
Wow.
I saw it, and it was all over ESPN, everything, and it was all over the internet.
Your 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll tell you. So I you know, I had a bunch of paramedics or whatever come to see, ask if it was all right. And I said, I just want to keep the shoe. And so I asked DeMar DeRozan when I handed him the shoe back, I says, hey, can I have your shoe and sign it for me? You know, I had no idea it was going to go viral like that for my 15 minutes of fame. And so he said, yes. But then when they lost the game that way, he wouldn't give me the shoe.
Well, I don't know what to tell you other than you at least were on ESPN.
Hey, 15 minutes of fame. Ride that thing like a wave.
You were on ESPN.
Yeah.
Doug's been on ESPN before.
A couple times, Grant. You know, when a player, when it's emotional like that, and if you remember that loss, it was a tough one. So I don't know, maybe if he didn't want to do it, he may have
forgotten. He probably forgot. You think he's...
Yeah, he may
like,
have forgotten.
You think, I mean, come on.
No, he seems like a really good guy.
Oh, he is. I've heard great things about him. When we come back, Dan Miller, the voice of the Lions, next here on Sports 1140. Great to have you with us, getting you right up to the top of the hour. If you're just joining us, we had the head coach of the Kings on, Dave Yeager. And we also talked with the Hall of Famer, Warren Moon, as the Seahawks host the Detroit Lions. And speaking of the Lions, the voice of the Lions, Dan Miller, is nice enough to spend a couple minutes with us. Dan, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, how are you this evening?
I am doing great. Appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, you would think that the world's coming to an end in Detroit, but yet you lose to three excellent teams at New York and at Dallas, and then obviously the rival to Green Bay. So, you know this team better than anyone here in this area and most of the folks around the country. Where's their psyche right now? Are they rattled at all by their three straight losses, or do you see the confidence in this team?
You know, I think, having covered this stuff for a long time, I think I've gotten over the point where I think, oh my gosh, this team is bruised mentally. They'll never bounce back. I think athletes have been compartmentalizing things for a long time, and they find a way to get over them. And I think in particular, when you transition from the regular season to the playoffs, very quickly you realize what you have to do, what's at stake, and you get engaged. I think if anything, the Lions learned who they were over 16 games. They're not a team that can turn it over. They're not a team that can win high-scoring shootouts. They're a team that has to, you know, kind of hang around, keep it low scoring, find a way to win in the fourth. Well, in those three games, they turned it over, except for the Giants game. The scoring got a little bit too high for them. and they just weren't games that they're going to win. And I think there's a cautionary tale for them in looking at the 16-game season as to how this game has to go for them to have a chance. It's got to be clean, probably has to be high teens, low 20s, and then maybe they have a chance to pull it out in the fourth. That's kind of who they are.
Dan Miller, Detroit Lions play-by-play voice. Looking at this game and looking at how your season has went, a lot of fourth-quarter comebacks. How does that lend to playoff style of football and the confidence maybe that Detroit has going into Seattle?
Well, I think there's something that Jim Caldwell, their head coach, has called being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think they've kind of been there all year. They have kind of been in do-or-die situations throughout the season. More often than not, they've found themselves trailing in the fourth quarter. 8 of their 9 wins have been come from behind fourth quarter wins. So, you know, while the stakes go up, the intensity goes up, the speed goes up, I think there is something to be a little bit battle tested in that this is a team that started 1-3. They lost 3 games in a row at the beginning of the year after winning their opener in Indianapolis. Everybody thought they were basically dead at that point. They battled back. They got into the playoffs. So they've been down and come back and won in games, and they've been down and come back and won when it comes to their record as a whole. So I think all of that kind of plays into getting you ready for what's going to be a very difficult atmosphere, a very good team, and obviously, you know, down to win or go home time in the NFL.
How big of a game is this personally for Matthew Stafford?
I think the only thing left for Matthew on his resume is winning in January and February. He's done everything else. He's got the numbers. I mean, he's got the yards. He's got the touchdowns. He got the 30,000 yards before any quarterback in NFL history. You know, those things he's got. But it's winning playoff games, winning championships. That ultimately is how we judge quarterbacks in the National Football League and kind of how we line them up when all is said and done. So it's huge for him. And whatever happens between now and the end of his career will kind of dictate how people remember him. He's a very talented guy, but in the end, if you don't win these type of games, people really don't remember you for anything more than being, you know, just somebody who puts up stats. I think he's more than capable of. Matthew's a terrific player. And a lot of what's happened hasn't always been his fault. It's been, you know, also what's gone on around him. But still, quarterbacks are judged by winning and losing, and in particular, winning and losing in January and February.
It's going to be important that Matthew is able to throw the ball down the field against a decimated Seattle secondary. But Zach Zenner, the running back, how big is it going to be able to establish him in the run this weekend?
I think it's huge, and they don't have to run, and they're not going to run based on what we've seen all year for 130 yards or anything like that. They're not equipped to do that right now, but I think it has to be good enough, mm-hmm. as it was in the first half against Dallas and as it was in the first half against Green Bay, to where you at least get that Seattle defense to back off a little bit, to get them to respect the play action so that really talented group they have up front can't just pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. I think that, look, they're down 2 running backs. They're down Amir Abdullah. They're down Theo Riddick. Those guys are done for the year. Zach is in there. He's battling. He's doing a nice job. He doesn't provide the explosiveness that those guys do, but he has shown that he can be effective. And he's got to be, because if you become one-dimensional against Seattle and that pass rush, you know, with Averill double-digit sacks, with Clark double-digit sacks, with Michael Bennett teeing off on you, the talented guys they have in their secondary, you're going to be in trouble. You got to have some semblance of balance.
Dan, we know about the 12th man in Seattle. I can't imagine it being any louder than what you experienced at the new dome in Minneapolis this year. But this is a Seattle team that's 3-3 in their last 6, and they don't look like what we envision when we talk about the Seattle Seahawks. And I made a comment, and I know that, you know, the people in Detroit wouldn't agree with this, but I actually think Detroit's in a better position playing Seattle than they would have been at home playing the Giants. You buy into any of that?
Yeah, I mean, the only reason that whole Giants thing would have been interesting is, I mean, they haven't had a home playoff game in 23 years. I mean, the roof would have come off that place. But, you know, look, people told us that Aaron Rodgers was struggling earlier this year when we went to Green Bay. We looked up and it was 31-3.
right.
You know, I mean, I think you sure. always go in expecting their best. Look, we've seen Seattle struggle. But, man, they've been to the Super Bowl 2 of the last 3 years. They know what it is to win. They've made the playoffs the last 5 years. They haven't lost at home with, you know, Wilson as their quarterback. I just I really go in there anticipating that the Lions are going to have to play their best game of the year, and they're probably going to need Seattle to make a mistake or two. And it's, you know, it's a really fine line, and probably if you want to go with the political term, it's a narrow path to victory for the Lions. I think it's there. I really do, because I've seen this team and I know what they're capable of. But I also know that they don't have a lot of margin for error, so they've got to go in there and they've got to play well. And I anticipate Seattle will play well.
Dan Miller, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Lions. Jim Caldwell coming back next year. Is there timing with that going into the playoffs to kind of solidify? Does it do anything in the locker room, do you think, for the guys knowing that, hey, this is our guy going forward?
I think it stops the questions. I think that those had really begun to you know, come up every time anybody did a media session. What do you think about Caldwell's future? He was getting asked about it. Players were getting asked about it.
Right.
Bob Quinn was getting asked about it, the general manager. And I think this, you know, Bob Quinn, whose decision it ultimately was, has now had a year to look at Jim Caldwell. He watched him in an off-season workouts, training camp, preseason, regular season. I think his decision was made. And if your decision was made, why not take it off the table and just say, you know what, this is our guy.
Yep.
This isn't something we're thinking about right now. Moving on to Seattle, let's just concentrate on that game. So I think there's a benefit in the locker room. And further, I think more than anything, the benefit is these players love Jim Caldwell.
That's cool.
And I know you guys have been doing this a long time and you know, had coaches and been around coaches. And sometimes there's just lip service paid to that. I'm telling you, they love this guy, and they want to play for this guy. And I think it means something to this team knowing he's going to be back.
Before I let you go, I just think it's fascinating what has gone on in downtown Detroit with Ford Field and Comerica. And now Little Caesars Arena is going to be opening up, and it's going to be the home of the Red Wings. The Pistons are going from Auburn Hills downtown, and I can't wait for next season to see that. But, I mean, it's pretty remarkable, the transformation that's gone on in downtown Detroit. And with this new arena, this is going to be spectacular, isn't it?
It's a very cool comeback story. And I've been here for 20 years, and it's been a while in the making, and it's still going to be a while. And, you know, the key thing is in any comeback story, you know, for a city is you got to get people down there and you got to give them a reason to come. And now all of a sudden, you know what you're going to have with Ford Field, with Comerica Park, with Little Caesars, with those three buildings all right there, you're going to have upwards of 200 nights a year where people have a reason to go downtown.
That's awesome.
So now all of a sudden you see businesses come up, restaurants pop up,
yeah.
And I think the makings are there, and you're already beginning to see it's a very cool story. Guys, where the arena is in Washington, D.C., you know, when you go
yeah.
See where the Wizards play, that's the same thing, guys. That thing where that was a no man's land. Yeah. Now it's beautiful. It's restaurants.
Yep.
Just walk around. Just have a great time.
Well, listen, you and myself and Doug, hey, we get a chance to travel to all the cities and do our thing. And so we see what venues can do in downtown. And I got to tell you, I'm don't take this the wrong way, I hate going up to the Auburn Hills area for a basketball game. I mean, like, I really do. I know there's beautiful areas up there, and I know that's where a lot of the wealthy people live. But I got to tell you, Dan, I can't wait for next year. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm excited about having them all in the same place. I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm with you. I live on the other side of town, so there's no easy way to go if my helicopter's down.
That's beautiful. Nice. Safe travel to Seattle, Dan, and have a good call. Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
That's classic right there.
Helicopter's down. I like that.
That is great. I hate up there. Birmingham, Rochester, Auburn. It's in the middle of freaking nowhere
up
there.
It is, man. You can't go anywhere.
Nah.
You're locked in the hotel.
Get me downtown.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back. We got a couple minutes left. You still have time at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Busy day tomorrow. Rome's in the house, 9 noon.
Wow.
That's going to be fun, and we're going to have him on our show.
I can't wait. I'm going to see if he remembers. I went on the Jim Rome show right when it started in Los Angeles.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't know where I was at in the pantheon of guests, but I had to think that I was one of the first ones when I got drafted to the Lakers.
No kidding.
And I can remember him trying to press me to say that I was going to take James Worthy's spot.
Oh,
thinking,
gosh.
Yeah, right. And then like a week later, it's the Chris Everett thing.
Yeah. Now, were you on his TV show or his radio?
His TV show. Yeah.
So
I sat at the same table the Jim that Everett flipped on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting stuff.
Don't bring that up tomorrow.
Don't do it.
Don't bring up the Jim Everett, Chris Everett thing.
Don't do it. Okay.
Nah. Bring up you being on the show, but okay. Don't bring up that.
I will not, Grant. Man, that was some of my best material.
All right, you can bring it up.
No, I will not. Not a chance.
Oh, you're a beauty. And then, you know, Rome's going to be at the game tomorrow, so Romy will be checking out Golden 1 Center for the first time, so that's very cool.
Oh, yeah, he should like that. I mean, especially what he goes see, the Staples Center?
Yeah, when he goes to the games, yeah, for sure. You know, and Jim likes, you know, Jim is huge into horse racing, owns a couple of...
Really?
Oh, absolutely. He had a... big time.
I wonder if he's ever been to Emerald Downs.
Oh, I guarantee he has. Oh, no, his horses have been huge. They're not just like, you know, they're big time.
Like they've won?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Look at Jim. Yeah.
You like horse racing?
Yes, I do. Grew up, that was my first job. I worked at the horse track sweeping up paper tickets.
Really?
You know, when people rip them up and drop them. I'm like, dude, you're standing right next to the garbage can. Pick the damn thing up. Yeah. You see me standing here already?
All right, let's get to John. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Grant. Happy New Year to you and Doug Christie. You guys are doing a great job today.
Thank you.
Thank you,
as
sir.
As always. Hey, just want to talk about the Kings, and what I see is they just don't have the leadership on the floor. The facilitator, who's a way above average talent, who also has the leadership skill, hence they play down to the level of their competition way too often. And until they find that guy or he emerges, I think there's a struggle there. Temple's a great player. Love him as a role player. But all their good role players are being diminished because they don't have the one person that facilitates and makes everybody else better when he has the ball and is an emotional leader that really, really people gravitate to. And I just think that's the biggest problem on that roster. It's not a lack of talent.
Playing to the level of your competition is a blessing and a curse. From the blessing part, that means that you actually have the talent to play up to better talent, but it's also a curse because then you play down to suck teams that you should be beating. So it's a matter of focus and really concentrating. I agree with you.
Yeah, well, you guys are nailing it all day, and hopefully they can find that element before the season gets too much further along, or it's going to continue to be a roller coaster. You guys have a great night.
You
hey,
too.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. So tomorrow we got an action-packed day, and I don't even know. I'm done predicting the Kings. I don't know how they're going to play tomorrow. But I know one thing. If you're down 19 against the Clippers, regardless of who's playing on that team, you're probably not coming back.
Yeah. J.J. Redick, I said I'd run on the court. Maybe I'll trip him. I don't know. If he does that, just comes off and shoots the
damn thing. He had a big game last night.
Yeah, he did. And then you got Jamal Crawford from Rainier Beach High School coming off the bench, knocking down shots. And
who knows if Chris Paul's playing.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe he's back, and that does not bode well at all. And DeAndre Jordan, always going to be a problem because of his athleticism and the energy that he brings. So this will be a big-time matchup.
And they beat Memphis last night.
Yeah.
Which, you know, let's face it, that's very impressive.
And they scored, 115
mm-hmm.
against Memphis?
115 to 106. Austin Rivers had 28 points.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a lot of points against a good defensive team in Memphis. So they're
so
not.
Chris, sorry.
No, I'm saying they're not laying down.
And again, Doc Rivers said that Chris Paul looked terrific at shoot-around yesterday, might be able to play against Sacramento tomorrow. He's missed 7 of the past 8. With a strained left hamstring.
Man, how many times is it just the timing of people always come back against us? It always happens, man. It's really weird. The Kings see people and it's like, oh, he hasn't been playing for 6 games. He didn't play last night in Tyler Johnson. And then he comes in and
Well, I'll tell you this. Whether Chris Paul plays or not, the one thing I know about the Clippers, they're not going to back. They're not coming in here. They've lost a lot of games without Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. They're not coasting.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all. They're trying to keep their spot in the Western Conference.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So they're 24-14, which is good, but their injuries have really cost them. All right, so have a good night, buddy.
I will, my friend.
Right.
I will see you tomorrow.
3:00 right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. And don't forget, we will have Jim Rome on our show tomorrow. Romy will be broadcasting live right here at Sports 1140 KHDK in the morning. And I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Plus Kings basketball against the Clips. All right. For Doug, this is Grant Napier. Have a great evening, everybody.